Farmers and miners and loggers and other rural workers and their families face a unique set of stressors in normal times, but especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, and especially in rural areas where there's a higher suicide rate. There's free help available through the Rural Mental Health Support Program at Lake Superior Community Health Center. Rich Tunnell is the Rural Mental Health Care Program Coordinator, and he joins us now. Rich, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So this is a new program, is that right?
That is correct. Yep, we started it in March, right before everything got locked down.
Holy cow. So what led you to this work with mental health and rural workers?
Well, with mental health, it was really just a calling I felt to help others. And I know that's kind of a cliche type thing, but I've been in the technology industry for many years before that, and what I decided was that what I really enjoy doing is helping people understand technology and helping people overall. So I went back to school, got my clinical counseling degree, and then took off from there. And what drew me to this in particular position was just the characteristics of the farmers and the miners and the loggers, and just trying to meet them where they're at, giving an opportunity not to worry about diagnosing them with any mental illness, but really concentrating on their mental health and how I can help them with their everyday stresses.
So how did this come together? I mean, there obviously there needs to be funding. How did this work out?
Lake Superior Community Health Center, they went out and they sought funding for it because Ted Matthews, who's in southern Minnesota doing something similar, just really urged them to seek this funding. And Miller Dwan Foundation is the one that sponsored it, and it's fully funded position. So it's zero cost to any calls or any visits or. And the nice part is it's very flexible. I can go out there, I can visit them wherever the client is most comfortable, whether that's on the farm, whether it's in their home, or whether we find a coffee shop somewhere just to sit and talk and figure out what's going on.
Tell us more of what you mean about, you said, meeting them where they are. What are some of the things that rural workers are going through?
Well, right now, it's things are so much up in the air. There's so much uncertainty as far as their produce and how it gets to market. I mean, when the schools shut down and when the restaurants were all shut down, basically that just kind of backlogged their supply. I mean, everything was kind of coming back, and they actually had to dispose of some of their product at times. And that's really hard when you spend all your time and effort into producing, whether that's hogs on the farm or whether that's corn or hay or whatever. And now all of a sudden it's coming back and you can't sell it to anybody because of COVID-19 at the plant is affecting them so much that they have no way to get it out to market. So that's part of it, and that's just dealing with what they're dealing with today, you know. With COVID-19, I mean, farmers and loggers and miners tend to be more isolated anyway, and now you put this additional isolation where they can no longer go to coffee shop, church, or just be around people has really kind of put them into a more unique situation during this time.
What are the conversations like with somebody, say, for somebody who's a dairy farmer? Because I saw an article in the Minneapolis Tribune about, you know, dumping thousands of gallons of milk that they work so hard to produce. What are the conversations you have with these types of folks?
Well, it's really just seeing where they're at, because each one is unique. But trying to show that there is hope and that what they're doing in the long run will be worth it, and that there's so many things that they have going for them, and not to look at it as what's going on today, but continue to look into the future.
Because I'm sure also some of them have children, and those children aren't in school, so they've been trying to teach their children, trying to work a farm, which is a nonstop, everyday job.
Right, right. Yes, and then they're worried about their kids that were staying at home because that's the schools were all shut down, and so they're trying to get them to do their homework or whatever and keep the farm going. Yes, especially younger children.
So it's not easy for anybody, but especially rural areas where Minnesotans don't always have a lot of words to get over that kind of stigma that things aren't exactly what you are hoping for. How do you get people to realize it's actually a strength to talk?
Well, that's the hard part. And really, it gets down to having other people encourage them. These farmers and these people that I'm targeting tend to be very self-reliant, and they don't want to express their feelings. But my program is really just coming alongside of them and being a willing, listening ear to show understanding. And maybe things aren't so bad right now, but let's work with where you are today, so that when something else happens, that it doesn't break your resilience. And again, maybe it's the children encouraging them, or the wife encouraging them, or the husband encouraging the wife to seek just help. And it's more mental health that I'm really targeting, just to help people with their everyday stresses. And these occupations tend to be very stressful. I mean, you look at the miners and the shutdown of the mines, and you look at the farmers, and just their whole livelihood is based on what's going to happen in the future, and they have very little control of the pricing and the weather and things like that, and just trying to help them cope with some of that.
Do you have conversations with the whole family? Do children have the opportunity to listen to what you have to say?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm very flexible, and it's very open, and all depends on what they want and where they're at.
We're talking with Rich Tinnell. He is the Rural Mental Health Care Program Coordinator with Lake Superior Community Health Center. You know, this stuff is so important because of COVID-19, because of just life in general. And in a rural area, it's always surprising to hear this, but suicide rates are much higher. Can you talk a little bit about that? That this is actually, I mean, if someone in your life is just not acting the way they normally act, this is really important to start talking to them and push them to places like the services you offer.
Right, yes. Even before COVID-19, suicide rates for the farmers, agriculture, was one of the higher occupations. And so that really was a concern for me, and that's one of the reasons that drew me to this position. It's something I don't think needs to go on. I mean, people just need to be aware of what's going on with the people that they know, and to not be afraid of asking serious questions of, have you had suicidal thoughts? And if the answer is yes, then really encouraging them to seek help, whether that's to me or whether that's through the suicide hotline or there's a texting hotline. But that's so important, because as soon as that step is taken where they do commit suicide or attempt to commit suicide, that's really where things really start breaking down for those around them in their relationships. So it's more just, what are the signs? Have they stopped? Are they looking depressed? Are they having a hard time struggling getting up in the morning? Have they stopped? And now it's kind of a little more difficult to see this, but have they stopped going to church? Have they stopped going to the coffee house and hanging out with their friends? Do they feel even more withdrawn from society than normal?
Rich, I wonder if you can, now this is just for anybody listening right now, because some of the things you were describing, like how you can't control the weather, you know, you can't control the market prices and things like that. That's one of the hardest things about everyone going through this pandemic is we can't control it. There's no answers to when this is going to end. And for many of us, it's the first time we've had things like that. Any advice for us, like looking forward, you know, looking ahead to the 4th of July weekend where we might have normally been out with, you know, a huge group of family and friends?
Right. Yeah. I think it's really making yourself self-aware and really kind of grounding yourself in what you do have. Because so many times we get anxious about what the future holds. And we really need to step back and look at where we are today and what's around us and what we have and what's positive about the situation. But it is hard. Reaching out, eating well, exercising, and there are ways of communicating with others via phone or texting or Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. But it's good to continue those relationships one way or another.
So
even the person that you're communicating with probably needs help too, or wants to communicate and wants to reach out. So do it for them, if not for yourself.
So what's the best way? If someone listening right now is worried about someone in their life, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Who's eligible for this service?
Really, it was set up for farmers, but we've also included miners and lumberjack industry. And the best way to get a hold of me is calling this number, 218. Yeah, I got a gig. I have to get it here. 730-6833. Or email me at rtunell, which is RTUNELL, at lschc.org.
Okay, and we'll have that information here for people, too, if they want to give us a call, if they're driving and couldn't write that down. The number here is 800-662-5799. Rich, thanks so much for telling us about the work you're doing.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.